Director Ward, where are you? It took me nearly 2 weeks to get everything done.
I'm over here, Tim. Just doing a little housekeeping. How did it go?
The toilet paper is strung on the Japanese maples, the windows have all been shoe polished, and I made a series of tiny punctures in the garden hose.
Then Hank is as good as defeated. It's time to put the final element of my plan into play. Here, take this.
A pile of mail? I know, that's only how it appears to me.
Exactly. And it's mail you're going to deliver to the wrong address.
We're screwing with someone's mail?
The addresses are a construct that reflects Hank's neural pathways. By sowing chaos, we destroy his ability to maintain coherence.
Yes, you've said. You know what? This is it. This is the last thing I'm doing for you.
As it should be.
What?
This will be the last thing I require of you.
Oh, great. Okay.
So, shall we?
Right. People of Earth, the following podcast is not real. If real is a critical square on your podcast bingo card, put those chips away, throw that ping pong ball back into the ocean, bid that group of malcontent elderly Vegas showgirls goodnight, and climb back onto your Vespa. Where are you listening to this from anyway? Otherwise, sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp, the greatest warrior in all of Foon. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is everything you need to know. 8 years and 3 weeks ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a Wi-Fi signal from the Burger King through the dimensional
room. Arnie, you're doing great. Keep it up, buddy.
Thanks, man.
You're nailing it.
Finally? I'm finally nailing it?
You've always been good at it, but today, you're great.
Huh. Wow. It must be the endorphins. You know, I'm still having a little bit of stomach pain, but you know what? You just get the show starts and the chemicals, like, release in your brain, and you start to feel a little bit better. And I'm really on top of it. And I don't think this side discussion that we're having in any way detracts from how this intro is going.
Not at all.
That I record every week here in the tavern, the strange familiar, in the town of Nibblebottom, at the base of the unnamable mountain.
Arnie, can I just say, the way you got back into the intro, flawless.
Thank you. Do you think people will notice?
I hope they do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll push for it. I'll say something.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you hear something, say something.
That's what I'm saying. Because I heard.
In the magical land of Foon, I am joined, as always, by my co-barn. Oh, fuck.
Co-barn?
Fuck. Fuck.
Have I gained weight? Co-barn?
I don't know why co-bunk.
Fuck
I'm
it,
sorry.
Let's call it here.
Oh, guys, I'm sorry.
Time of death.
Another fucked up episode.
Oh, no, Chunt. Remember, last week we established that there's a new segment on the show, so we have to wait for our guests to be here to see if they agree time to end the show.
We have to ask every guest, do you want this to be the last episode? And if they ever say yes, we're done. We're done, so.
We're fucked.
Oh, boy. Speaking of things that happened last week, I opened my hand earlier today, and I realized, oh, shit, I still have Brotar's thumb. Like, I just have it in my hand. Like, he left.
Is it still moving?
I don't know. I can't tell. It's getting progressively greener.
Okay.
Oh, you should get outside into the garden. Also, Arnie, I don't know if you know this, but now you have one token for hitchhiking, if you ever want to hitchhike in Foon. Now, hitchhiking is a weird custom. You probably don't have it on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you stand by the side of the road and scream. A horse or a cart will stop for you. You give them one thumb, and they'll carry you to a destination of their choosing.
Huh.
But they won't like it.
Mm-hmm.
They will not like it.
On my world, hitchhiking is when you go on a long walk with Kevin James and Will Smith.
Kevin James and Will Smith. Huh.
I don't know. We might be back to perfect episode.
Redemption.
Might be back on track.
That reference must hold up. Arnie,
I'm sure Earth people are just sort of like, yes, we're still hungry for it. Yes.
You're crushing it, buddy. I am also joined by my other co-bork, Usidore the Wizard, who's dead and really a ghost.
I was Usidore, Wizard of the 12th Realm of Ephesius, Master of Light and Shadow, Manipulator of Magical Delights, Devourer of Chaos, Champion of the Great Halls.
Hey, cohort.
Yep.
It seems like we're doing a more casual intro today.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I was known to the dwarves, I was known to the Stanges, known to the Fiangalic.
Let me get behind your shoulders here and dig into these knots.
Ooh. It's known in the northeast as Gatsmanius Maestar.
Really working.
And lately I've been thinking, maybe I don't want to pretend to be a ghost anymore.
Wow. See what happens when we loosen up? Yeah. The truth comes out. And you, sir, I got to say, you hold a lot of tension in your hat.
I do hold a lot of tension in my hat. It's a load-bearing hat, and a lot of my emotions and feelings are stored in there.
What kind of load are you keeping in your hat?
I was going to say, I hate the phrase load-bearing hat, but here we are.
Well, it's just that I unload all of my my feelings and thoughts into my hat so that I don't have to deal with them directly.
Yeah.
That's why there are so many tiny Usidores in there. Do you remember when we went to my hat and there was a bunch of tiny Usidores in there?
Yeah. So your hat's almost like a pensieve.
A what?
It's a term I just came up with. You know how sometimes you're pensive about things?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You reflect. Well, pensieve, do you know what a sieve is? I guess this is kind of a slant rhyme.
Okay.
We'll get back to it. It's something I created and nobody's ever done before.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Sieve is already actually in the word pensive. So
it's pensive. Pensive.
I can't conceive of where anyone would have come up with that term.
You can't conceive, Usidore.
I know.
That makes me even happier that you're helping to raise Eggy Baby.
Well, the problem might be all those loads in your hat.
That's not where you put them. If you want to have a kid, that's not where you put them, Usidore.
Okay. Well, I'll work on that. Excellent. Do you think it'd be possible for me to use this life stone to make everyone believe that I came back from being a ghost, even though I haven't really been a ghost this whole time? It's just sort of a whole sham.
Now, remind me what the life stone is.
Is that the magical artifact I got from Castle Hawkspire?
That's right. Yes, yes.
And I kind of used it to control ghosts, so...
Right.
Also, you're completely full of shit about being a ghost, so kind of anything would work.
Well, I just need a good excuse so that when people show up, they're like, what the hell? You were dead, and you completed your true purpose. And I go, well, you know, life stone.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Another route, and hear me out, another route could be you... Like, stay up for, like, 2 weeks. Get some deep bags under your eyes. Just really start to, like, not eat properly and maybe get a little sick. And then when people see you and you're corporeal and alive, they'll be like, wait a minute, I thought you were dead. And you look straight in their eyes, give them a little wink and go, dead tired. And then people are like, oh, I misheard or misunderstood.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I did make a big deal about dying.
What if I... show up here as some sort of like supernatural expert and I walk around the tavern and I'm like, there's a dark presence in this tavern. It holds it close to her and tells its secrets only a child would understand.
It sounds entertaining. I don't know how it helps me exactly, but I suppose we could do that.
Arnie, can I insist on something very quickly?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do the
I expect nothing else from you.
Can you do the whole intro in that voice?
Sure. Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is everything you need to know.
Arnie.
Mm-hmm.
You're nailing it. This is going perfect.
Again?
Yes.
Nailing it.
Two for two. Two for two.
Intro?
Yeah. Honestly, you can stop now.
Because I just nailed it shut.
So, Usidore, do you need us to, like, I don't know, help you swallow the stone, or what are we doing?
I think if people come... Okay, this is all an if. This is all just conjecture, right?
Sure. Wow. Deep. That's philosophical.
If someone shows up and they're like, what the hell, man? You are a ghost, and now you're not a ghost? Instead of us all looking at each other and going, we just go, life stone.
I like it. Because we don't want to make this story too complicated, right?
Right.
Because then we'll fuck it up.
The more detail someone gives, the more you know they're lying. Yes.
And then if somebody calls bullshit, I pull out the life stone. And I go, look, I have it right here.
And you go, how do you like them stones?
Exactly.
And if someone has like a poker face power, we don't want to lie. We just point to the life stone and say, life stone.
What's this?
It's a power where you just know people are lying.
I thought a poker face is when you were lying and you were good at it.
Look, I've just been learning this on Twitter. People are talking about this poker face power that Natasha Lyonne has. And I'm like, whatever it is, I want to have it.
Arnie, this is embarrassing. You're doing so well. Mm-hmm. It's pronounced lion.
There's a lion on your world that has powers?
Natasha Lyonne. You said Lyonne. I think you're putting a little too much mustard on the ball.
Yeah, love that metaphor.
Oh, I'd love a mustard ball. I'm going to go to the bar and get one.
Give me a mustard ball, too, please.
Arnie, you want a mustard ball?
No, I'm still occasionally having some real stomach issues, so I'm going to hold off on the mustard ball.
Okay. Chunt, mustard ball?
Please. Oh, okay. Arnie, did you get your invitation to the mustard ball?
I didn't. Oh, well, should I use that voice? Oh, no, I haven't gotten my invitation to the mustard ball.
Oh, that works so well for a ball for Cotillion.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, it's this big tradition in Foon. So every 10 years, what you do is you get completely naked, cover yourself in condiments. Aww. Could be mustard, ketchup, mayo, relish, whatever you want. And you show up and see what happens. It gets kind of freaky.
What's the best condiment to sort of smother your naked body in?
Ooh, I'm going to go out on a limb and say hot sauce.
What?
It just keeps things interesting, and you start. You will dance like crazy.
Sounds painful.
Arnie, do we have, let me look around the bar here. A lot of people ordering mustard balls. Do we have a guest today?
Oh, shit, I knew I forgot something. Well, what about this weirdo? Hey, sir?
Yeah?
Would you mind coming and sitting at this table with us and having a conversation into these weird sticks?
I thought you'd never ask.
I never thought about it, but these are weird sticks.
They are, aren't they?
Hey, buddy, what's your name? What's your deal?
Hi there. I apologize. I should have come up sooner. My name is Jetto McGuire. I am not here by accident. I'm actually looking for somebody that's sitting right here at this table.
Oh, wow. Is it yourself?
Well, hey, we're all on a personal journey, if you will. Yeah. But I am seeking externally right now. So, I mean, that was a good deflection. But no. My target is right in front of me. Is
target?
Wearing that heavy-ass hat over there.
Oh, his load hat.
That architecturally important hat.
And I'm sorry, did you say your name was Fidgetto?
Pagetto.
I heard Puppetto.
Okay, well, what you heard and what I said are two different things.
Okay.
Apparently it's three different things.
Yeah.
Okay? It's Pagetto, first name, last name, McGuire.
Yeah, I got the McGuire part.
Pagetto, okay.
McGuire. Pagetto.
Yeah, our name is Pagetto McGuire.
Hey, sorry, that's, Well, you probably noticed the goat's head coming out of my back. You probably were just looking at my lion's face. I'm if you don't know, I'm a chimera, okay?
Oh.
So, you're gonna hear from the goat face. Don't forget to me. Sorry, that's my snake tail. It's our snake tail. We're all, they defer to me because I'm the most obvious spokesperson for the body here. But yeah,
obviously.
I'm so sorry. I got so fixated on the name Pagetto. I completely missed all these things that are going on.
You are not alone.
Arnie, he has a Lyonne head, or a lion head, as you would not call it. Also, he has a goat head that talks to him, and a snake tail. So I think it's like every once in a while you get people where they kind of share a body. You know, like the Soul Walker?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
All those voices vying for one mouth. I think that's kind of what's going on here. Pepetto, am I correct in saying
Pagetto,
so?
Pagetto, very different. And I think it's just weird that you would compare me to another, for lack of a better word, character that you've already encountered, because this, I feel like I'm an original thing. So, I don't...
Well, color me regretto, because I feel terrible. I'm so sorry. You are your own unique individual, and I apologize for that. When the go-ahead talked, did your head turn 180?
No, I'm going to bend my head down a little bit. It's coming out of the spine here.
That's me. I'm going to pipe in sometimes. My opinions are important, too.
Sure.
So he's there, and that's what's going on.
I just got a couple extra mustard balls for the whole table, just in case. Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. You must be Natasha Lyonne.
What the fuck is going on now? What? First, you take away my livelihood.
What?
Mr. Door.
Oh.
All right. I have a bone or 100 to pick with you, mister.
You missed it. This is Stiletto.
Oh, Pagetto Maguire. Pagetto Maguire, the Chimera.
We have the Maguire part. Don't you worry about that.
But with your first name, help us help you, okay? Help us help you.
Okay, I'm pretty scary looking. So if you were with your parents, you might need guidance. You might need parental guidance, right? So there's a P and a G. So it's Pagetto. Pagetto, a P and a G right there.
Sorry, I was so caught up on your first name, I didn't catch any of that.
Yeah, Usador, this is Pagetto. He's a chimera.
A chimera. Boy, oh boy. Pagetto Maguire, the Chimera.
I knew you were a chimera. I wasn't going to call that out. It seems rude, but you seem to have taken some umbrage with me when I don't believe I've ever met you before.
No, you have not. Yet you've done enough damage to maybe make me the last of the Maguires. And that would be a tragedy if you want to really think about it.
Wow, Arnie, didn't you say on Earth there's a amazing story called The Last of the Maguires, starring Daniel Day-Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
That's a horrible... I can't believe I'm responsible for such a terrible thing. That your very existence may be in question. To be or not to be. To be Maguire.
There's a lot to rub there. In what you said, mister. And I just got it.
What the lion's face is trying to say is that your very purpose in defeating the Dark Lord
has removed
our very purpose in our trade, in our career.
Are you some sort of evildoer who did the bidding of that Dark Lord?
No, but my doing was enabled by him. I'll just come out and say it. Yeah. I am a toy maker by calling.
Oh,
and I got it. I got to admit, you know, thank you. It's a really exciting, dynamic path for one
What's
to take.
What's your favorite toy that you've made?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, boy.
And least favorite.
That's a story. Okay. Least favorite has to be the line of smorps we came out with early on.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite... Hey, no. I'm not sharing that awesomeness with you until I tell you what my problem with you is.
You understand? Right. Yes, sorry.
All right. While the Dark Lord was around and protections and regulations were being eliminated left and right in the service of a free enterprise, I was able to market what I did very directly to the youths. Now, I didn't want to go into marketing as a young chimera when I was a live birthed egg foal. I was four or five things when I was born.
Were you all in an egg or just part of you was in an egg?
Well, I'm a snake, a goat, a lion, and an eagle. You might have noticed these giant wings that are also extending from the other side of the goat head as well.
I did notice that.
Yeah, that's what's going on here. So, my birth is complicated. It's just, I mean, the baby book is an encyclopedia in my house. Okay, so that's just where I'm coming from.
Goats have such interesting eyes, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yep, sideways pupils.
Like a marble.
Yep, rectangular and disquieting.
Well, listen, why don't we take a quick break and then, Chunt, you got this. Parental guidance, PG. And then, Pagliacci, we're going to hear a little bit more about your grievances with Usador.
Damn it.
So, Pagetto, you're mad at Usador for killing the Dark Lord, who is definitely dead.
Right.
Oh, R.I.P. for sure.
Yeah, rest in power.
And that's affected the toy industry and how you make a living.
Well, it sounds more like it's affected the marketing industry for your toys.
That is accurate. If you're going to find the rub, that's where it's at. I just wanted to make toys. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to make toys. That was it. But you know what? You got to sell toys. If you want to make them, you got to sell them. Otherwise, you can't buy the supplies to sell more. And all of a sudden, I found myself working longer weekends and then later nights and earlier mornings, and not seeing my actual children as much, or my partners, or anything. But that's what happened, and that's how I became in charge of an entire empire. My partners, yes.
Your partners, plural?
Do you need further explanation on that?
I guess I don't, but I'm just kind of curious.
Okay, well, let's say you are a lion, and you're into lions, right?
Sure.
Probably not also into goats, okay? And say you're a pretty horny eagle, you're not turned on by the sight of a cobra head, right? Okay, so is the math more complicated than that, or is this clearing up?
I mean, it's a pretty big stretch of the imagination to not be attracted to a cobra head. Am I crazy?
I can see where you're coming from there.
So
but,
sexy.
The badger makes a good point. I mean, who doesn't want a piece of this?
Nice. Thank you, Cobra. So Cobra, you're the tail.
Yes. I provide balance.
Who are you seeing? What's your love life like? Is it hard just being a tail?
Yeah, what's your deal?
Well, I'm not always in charge of where we go on a given day, but I'm along for the ride. It's a bit of an equal partnership if you really think about it.
I don't want to pull at this thread, but I have to. I'm so sorry.
Pull away.
Is your name also Pagetto?
Yes, we're all Pagetto.
Okay, great.
How do you talk to and about each other?
It's a collective, if you will. This is very fascinating. See, now, there are separations, but there is also a unity, if you will. I do understand that you are speaking to the lion's head as if it were another person, but it is also me, but I am also have my own desires and needs, but they're all in service of each other. If you could talk to the wings, the stories you would hear.
Oh.
And do you all, sorry, just to piggyback on Arnie's question, do you all kind of talk shit about each other? So, like, you know, if you're all upset with, like, Gelato, the main Gelato guy, do you, like,
Pagetto!
What was it?
Pagetto!
So do you guys use, like, a code name? Or, like, do you wait till one of the heads is sleeping and then the tail and the wings talk?
Man, I think these guys pull some shitty pranks on me when I'm asleep. I sleep a lot. I think they're always trying shit with me.
He's probably correct. He's very easy to fool. Man, his eyesight is shit.
Arnie, psst.
Yeah.
Therapy must be a fucking nightmare for this guy.
Yeah.
Or for the therapist, I guess.
They might need separate therapists.
Oh, that good call. That would be smart. That would be smart.
Mm-hmm.
I need to say my piece to Usador.
Oh, please.
In the days of the Dark Lord, we were able to market directly to children. When the cock ticklers would get up and do a play, if it were aimed at children, then it needed to have some sort of lesson or educational import. If there were books shown to a child during the day and it was sold by some reputable bookseller, then it needed to have something sort of a moral to the fable.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You would think so, but when the Dark Lord was in charge, and the almighty golden piece, or rupee, or gem, or whatever your currency was in charge, why then, these stories, these entertainments, these grand epics could also include product placement, with no need for anything more than an ancillary be nice to grandmothers at the very end of some sort. And that's where the money was rolling in. But now all these regulations, guardrails, and protections are slowly creeping back in. I can't even put a new line of scare bears into a religious service without somebody saying, well, what does this mean? And I want to say it just means you buy more of them.
I'm so sorry to interrupt your rant, but what are scare bears?
Scare bear? If you are from Foon, I would assume you had them when you were in school.
Oh, yeah. They were a big deal a while ago. They're still around, from another world.
Yeah, right. Ernie, they're little bears. They have the longest claws and the biggest fangs you've ever seen. Deep-set red eyes. And what they do is they hide anywhere. And so sometimes you'll like blow out a candle and you'll just see a red glow. And that means they're staring at you. And their stare can cause you to, how do I want to put this delicately? S your peas?
Oh.
Yeah. People would shit their penises.
Oh, no.
Which is not, can I just say?
That's how bad it was.
It's not safe.
That's force.
Pretty bad.
Right.
And they each of them was different. This was where we really, really let our creative juices flow. I was part of a team. It wasn't just me creating all these. We had a whole department.
Wait a minute, Pagetto, you were a whole department because there's three of you?
Oh, I'm saying there were crocodile men, there were werewolves, there were death gods, there were all sorts of other people who just wanted...
Wait, that's the toy department? That's the toy department?
That sounds right.
Crocodile men, death gods, werewolves?
Sure, and
how
elves,
are you gonna make toys?
You know, yeah, anybody, you know, everybody plays. Everybody plays. That's how we learn.
Now, scare bears are starting to make a lot more sense now that I know who's behind them.
Each one was distinct. There were things emblazoned on their giant foreheads that would show what type of scare bear they were. Anything that was liable to scare a child. There was
pentagram.
Pentagram bear, potty bear, first day of school bear, hallway bully bear, the dentist bear.
Brussels sprouts.
There was the whole New Foods bear line. That was Brussels sprouts, porridge, vegetable bear. There was abandonment bear, lost my parents bear, all things like that, you know.
Potty bear, huh?
Potty bear, learning to use a potty.
Sorry to fixate on the first one. I didn't really hear any of the other bears.
Well, I mean, think of how much my parents had to spend on diapers. You needed a lion diaper, a goat diaper, a snake diaper, an eagle diaper as I was getting older, right?
A triper.
Right, right.
So when you make the potty bear, scare bear toy,
right,
do you have to come up with an image for the forehead of the bear that represents the thing they're afraid of?
It was a toilet with teeth, like you would eat the child's bottom.
And what image was the fear of abandonment for that scare bear?
It was a swinging door.
Ooh.
Yeah, like you just got left alone in a room.
Did people think it was just the
door? Oh, kids door? Knew.
Just
they
kids
knew.
Afraid of doors?
No, they're not afraid. They're afraid of not having parents anymore.
I grew up with swinging doors in my house. You know, when I'd go to bed, the doors would come alive. They'd put all their knobs in a bowl.
Mm.
Everyone would grab a different knob, and whatever knob you grab out of the bowl, that's the knob you're going home with.
Mm. Yeah, there was also broomstick parties like that too. Bed knobs and broomsticks. So it really gets
pretty
wild.
Fucking wild.
Yeah.
I don't know, Gribeiro. I don't know if this is helpful, but maybe to make up for Usador's shittery towards you, we can offer you a design that Foon has never seen. Now, my friend Arnie here, my best friend Arnie right here, he, on his planet, he has a toy that's one giant cube made up of smaller cubes, and you have to make it look nice. It's called Roger's Square?
It's called the Rubik's Cube, is what I believe you're talking about.
That's
although for
right,
a second,
right.
I thought maybe you were talking about Legos.
That sounds like a job.
And yeah, I want to say, and I know this will mean nothing to anyone here because none of you can know any different. Legos is definitely the plural form of Legos.
Now, I have to ask: are toys important? Do we need them? Aren't they kind of stupid and a waste of time?
Hey, like, I might just be a fucked up goat head coming out of a back or something, but even I know that toys are important.
Well, see, I was never a child. I came into this world fully formed as you see me now.
What?
So I never had toys. So I don't know if it's important that children have them or if you market to them or not. I'm sort of not invested.
Those are two separate things. Whether toys are important or whether you need to market them to children. Those are two different things that have intertwined in my life.
Well, I don't give a shit about any of it.
Well, you should. Because you came in with a lot of knowledge formed in there in that heavy hat of yours, right? Okay? But you don't understand how hard it can be to learn, okay? I grew up as four different things, right? So I'm not just like two legs and some opposable thumbs and shit like that that you guys clearly have. Well, I mean, not you, Mr. Badger, but like...
Thank you.
But a tall salmon shirt there guy. There's a lot going on. So if you don't have something to play with, you don't know how to interact with the world around you. Okay, so that's what we're talking about when we talk about play. Play is learning. It's school wrapped up in a toy. It's candy on top of medicine, really, when you think about it.
Well, I love learning.
Have you never had a toy?
Oh, buddy.
No, why would I? I was never a child.
So you never really been socialized?
What do you mean? I'm perfectly sociable, you son of a shit!
Oh, you broke the table in half. Pagoda, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And maybe we can get Isidore a toy. Isidore, here you go, buddy. I made myself a tiny little badger, like a stuffed little badger. So just hold me in your arms for the next little bit.
Did you change your shape?
Yes,
you badger.
I made myself smaller, and I made myself stuffed full of cotton.
Wow, if we had had you on the team, we could have really moved some product, I think. We had a whole line of shift shapers. That is what we called them. It was a really catchy name, shift shapers, right?
Shifters.
So, yeah, it would be like you'd see this toy, you'd think it was one thing, but then it was a puzzle that would turn into another thing, right? Yeah, pretty great.
Was there any kind of like jingle or song for shift shapers?
Oh, yeah, it was shift shapers. Do not trust your eyes. So it was really great. It was like it made you think. Don't trust anything you see. Right. Mm.
And then the lesson they learned was,
do not trust anything you see.
Good.
Was
lesson.
Anyone worried about kids saying shit shapers? Just because a lot of kids can't enunciate.
Yes, it came up often. It provided me with much joy.
You nasty little thing.
I'm a freak. Ooh.
Right, the shift shapers. It was basically two different warring factions we started off as vehicles. Like, the good ones were the wagonatons. They were these automatons that started off as, say, a cart or something like, well, not a cart, but, you know, a wagon or right. some sort of movable thing. And then there was the deceptive carts as well, and they would go from one thing to another. But I tell you, I believe Chunt is your name. At one point, we got into the Battle of the Beasts. It was a separate kind of offspin. I wasn't as excited about it. It wasn't the first generation of them, but it had some staying power, and it would be animals that would turn into other things.
Ooh.
Oh, that's so cool. You know, my theory on battles, I've fought in a few scraps and everything. It's a lot like jazz. It's the punches you don't throw.
Yeah! Jazz is pretty great. I try to play the upright bass, but all I got these damn hooves. Anywho. Oh,
I feel like if I had these shift shapers, I wouldn't know how to play with them without seeing like some stage play or something that tells me the story.
We would have magical imagery that would pop up at times, especially in the mornings before children would be shuttled off to school or off to their jobs in the mines. Depending on where you were.
So much
but
child
you get
work.
Them, if you capture them before school and get their eyeballs there, or on the mornings on the days that they weren't forced to work or learn, you would show that to them, and they'd be like, oh, I need to have this thing, and you would really impress that upon their brains. Like, you are not going to be popular unless you have this latest toy, and we would show them how it works. So there would be a story between the two characters, and the way that the toy interacted with the world around them would make them really exciting and make them beg them, force their parents to buy them for them, or they would spend all of their wages on the toys as well.
That sounds pretty exciting, and
it was.
I'm sort of intrigued, I must admit, to see this play enacted. I'm a big fan of Automaton Constable, although it's a little bit raunchy. I would rate it as raunchy. I'd say it's R-rated for a child audience.
Automaton Constable was also a bit of a satire as well, right? You're really kind of taking apart sort of some more fascist ideals in the government happenings of the time. So it's a product of its time, but really timeless. I have to agree with you there.
But it's not the type of thing you could make a toy out of ever.
Oh, of course you could. We had a whole line of Automaton Constables.
What?
There was another spinoff. There was the Lonely Star. It was a horse sheriff that also would stand on two legs sometimes and then be on four legs at other times. And it had
that's confusing.
Yeah, I know it was, but it was exciting.
Pick a lane.
Kids needed it.
You're telling me
that there is... You created Automaton Constable toys, and I never knew about them?
Well, but you're now an adult with your own money, so there's nothing stopping you from getting them. That's an idea that we really have tried to engender, that as you grow older, you can really hold on to the things that you liked when you were younger. And if people try to change or add on to those things you liked when you were younger, then you can be furious about that. And it really increases engagement. And that's what we got into. That's not what I came out to do. I didn't start out as a marketer, but now that's what I am. Like, if you take our line of the Noble Samurai Healthy Lizards, right? That was one... line of toys that we really enjoyed, and
are the lizards who love ravioli?
Yes, oh, they're crazy for ravioli and surfing. Huh. Ravioli, ooh. Surfing, and living in the toilets. That's where they were. That's where their bread and butter was.
But they're healthy.
Very. They're noble samurai healthy tweens. Lizards. Huh. They're also tweens. They're tween-aged.
But that was like, let's not put that in the name, because the name is already getting pretty long, I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah, I had to fit the meter of the theme song.
Brevity is the soul of toys.
I hear the theme song?
Yeah, how does that work?
Noble samurai healthy lizards. Noble samurai healthy lizards. Noble samurai healthy lizards. Go out and buy them. Spend your money. It was great.
Wow. Oh, so it's such an earworm.
It's so catchy. I caught on to it.
Oh, the earworms that we sold were wonderful, too.
Big fan. I love those as a kid. Love those.
You have to have an earworm.
You had some earworms, Chunt?
Oh, yeah. So they're just little, when you go to bed, you just put them in your ear, and they just kind of like whisper things to you, and they'll help guide your dreams. Arnie, you'll appreciate this. I had this guy. His name was Elastic Leg Power, and he was just this guy who was all legs, and you could just really, really rip his legs around.
Oh, that sounds awful.
No, it's fine.
It was.
It kind of teaches you to take out your anger on a third party.
Okay.
Some
things are starting to make sense.
Never tear them open, because you don't want to know what's inside.
Oh, no, it would poison you and your whole village. That's
your whole village?
Toxic AF. Yeah, it's terrible stuff.
I would imagine that it's actually very difficult to rip it open, then.
If you're stronger than a five-year-old, no, it's not. But, you know.
But, look, I see that I've wronged you in some way, Pachetto, and, I would like to set things right, and I don't know what you had in mind here today. I could perhaps put in a good word with our friend, the King, Tom Blaine, or his sister, Trachea Aurelia, who hates us. But still, you know, I could try to put in a good word, and...
it's funny. You say what I want, I think, and I think I have failed a little bit today because all four of my therapists, the language they give me... and us is to say how I feel and then what I need. And I have told you how I feel and what my problem was and what I need. I was literally what you were going to say. If I could just have a good word, if the playing field was level again, where I could, without restrictions, advertise to children and make them feel like they were lesser than if they didn't have the products that I'm trying to push.
Now, I don't want to take full credit, but it seems like ever since I turned myself into a little stuffed badger, seems like you took a lot of accountability and really really stood up to right those wrongs. How does it feel having your first toy in me, holding me tight? You've been squeezing me.
Well, it feels good, and I don't want to deny children the opportunity to have toys. And these toys sound like wonderful toys. I personally am interested in the shapeshifters and the automaton constables, but... I have to say, I'm a little concerned about the idea of treating children as a source of income.
What if I added in a complete line of our original Masters of the Fooniverse line of toys?
Oh, yes, sold.
A lot of nostalgia for your cohorts here, or you could actually find something that you're really into as well. We also have... salmon-toned sinew men from a different kingdom, and we imported them, but they were quite a big hit. There's the Cabbage Patch Full of Children line of toys, which is also pretty fun. It goes really well with the earworms.
But the toy is at the actual Cabbage Patch.
Yeah, you buy a Cabbage Patch, and it's filled with children.
What a fun toy.
Right?
Do you still make slunkies?
Slunkies. They make a slunkety sound. They sort of slunk into a room, and they don't ever stand up straight.
Arnie, slunkies are slurring donkeys. They're basically drunk donkeys. They go downstairs. Mm-hmm. You can, like, hold them in your hand, and they go back and forth. They're just a slunky. It's so simple to just get a donkey drunk, but they make the best toys.
They're fun for a girl or a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't they be, Usador?
I don't know. I just felt like pointing that out.
No, it's a good thing to say, but it's mostly fun for the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's super fun for the donkey. I have seen a slunky. I know what a slunky is. Look, I don't have to be bribed, although I may start collecting Automaton Constable products. Look, you seem like a very nice chimera, and you seem like all you want to do is sell toys, which is a wonderful thing, to make toys for children.
Right.
I see the value of it now. To help socialize them so that they don't act like awful people when they're adults.
Right.
And when they're adults, if they still love those toys, they can continue to buy them incessantly and obsess on them.
Right, and you charge more.
And you can charge more. That sounds perfectly healthy to me.
Mm-hmm. This is just a relief. I carry so much resentment around with me. It's just nice to be able to let that go for once. Mm-hmm. It's really, I look intimidating. I got a lot going on here. I was so scared to come here today.
Oh, really?
I got to tell you.
Yeah. Scared of us?
Yeah. No, scared. I was scared of my emotions.
Guy,
like, you know, I can see you're the greatest warrior in all of Foon right now, but I got, you know, I also, God, sometimes the scariest thing is the mirror, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, because sometimes there's a demon in there.
Yeah. Well, sometimes there's another goat and a snake. And two wings that can't express themselves verbally.
I think maybe you just discovered another addition to the Scare Bears line.
Oh, shit.
Wow. That's why they call it reflection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. I am gonna... you are getting a cut of the royalties.
Well,
that's greatest reward anybody could have.
I was thinking of a literal demon. You guys ever see that demon in the mirror when you look in there?
Sure.
The one that's kind of dancing behind you and he laughs at you?
Oh, yeah, that pops up behind your shoulder, screams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Sure, I've got to do something about that guy.
He's a piece of shit.
Sometimes I pop up and dance with him and it really freaks out the goat.
You are a freak.
Incorrigible.
Well, I'm going to start writing a missive to the king right now, insisting that he allow you to market to children. And I'll send my bird off right away.
I might just be a little stuffed badger right now, but Arnie, did you have a favorite toy when you were a kid on Earth?
Toys like in other dimensions?
Well, in my world, the toys are all kinds of crap. Really, kind of everything.
Wow, you really paint a picture. All kinds of crap.
Wow.
Beautiful.
So you could just make it on your own.
Yeah, I had a thing called a Teddy Ruxpin, and it was like a stuffed bear, you know, not unlike you, Chunt, except that there was a lot of just hard technical gadgetry just shoved inside that bear.
And so it taught you that when you tried to get close to somebody, that it would hurt a little bit? Like you tried to hug it and it was hard inside, it would just kind of like push back against you and like the corners would poke you?
Well, no, but the best thing was you could put a little rectangle inside of Teddy Ruxpin and he would tell you stories.
This sounds
Or
perverse.
He would tell you the same story over and over again and his eyes and mouth would move make
that's how
a
you tell
noise.
A story.
Well, yeah, but they would make... but they would make a noise while they were moving that was louder than the story it was telling.
Well, this sounds a lot like the entertainment in the ravioli parlors that the samurai lizards would entertain at.
So you pay this little bear a rectangle, and then he tells a story with his mouth and his eyes? I'm with you, sir. This sounds weird.
Huh. Yeah, when you say it like that.
I mean, and to be fair, your eyes and mouth move, and that it doesn't seem like a toy to me.
Yeah, but, like, listen to my eyes when I'm talking. They're not making a noise. Listen to my eyes.
Arnie, all I can hear most of the time is your eyes.
Really?
It's like It's like two rocks banging together every time you blink.
Your eyes got something that's got a pizzazz. Sorry, pizza. I said it wrong. Ah, this is like a Lion Leon situation. Well, Fuddrucker, thank you so much for swinging by.
Pagetto. Just for the last time, it was Pagetto.
Now,
Pagetto.
Pagetto, once right. I hear back from the king, where do we reach you at? Are you located here in Nibblebottom, or are you just traveling around right now, or...
Well, I'm pretty mobile because I can fly. So, right. I spend a lot of time on the road and in the skies. But yeah, we've got offices all over the place because distribution really becomes the heart and soul of everything. And you just get pulled so far away from what brought you into the industry. If you get it right.
Yeah. So you never know where a death god's going to manifest.
Oh right, yeah. If one of them quits or we goddesses forbid, we got to let them go. Just finding a replacement is not easy, right? Because they get a lot of offers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyways, you can send it to our main headquarters in the Big Apple.
Okay, right by the lake. Perfect.
You got it.
Yeah, well, I will definitely look into it and see what we can do. And I can't wait to collect my own automaton constables.
We never kind of touched on it, but what's that? There's kind of a, just tucked under your arm, there's kind of a wooden boy with strings on him. What's that?
Oh, it was just something I'm working on. We've got a lot of different names for it, but right now we're calling it Poker Face. And when this wooden doll tells a lie, the nose gets really long and pokes you in the face.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Arnie, you were just reading about this, right?
I know. Full circle. Can I say, Pagetto... Before we go, we have one more segment.
Sure.
Do you think this should be the last episode of this podcast, or we should keep doing it?
I need you to back up and let me know what a podcast is.
I'll take that as a keep doing more.
All right, I'm glad I answered that. Super.
Arnie, maybe the intro should be more about what a podcast is, and then we get into the backstory.
So are you telling me you want the intro to be longer?
I can't take too long because this doll right here, it's got to go. It's Russian. It's a Russian doll. It's got to get out of here at some point.
Can other people weigh in on if this should be the last episode of the podcast? People with a very strong opinion? No? Yuzuru the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Shunt the Talking Badger was played by Adol Rafai. Pagetto, the Chimera Toymaker, was played by special guest Andy Carey. You can see Andy on the Amazon Prime show Paper Girls and the upcoming season of Justified City Primeval on FX and Hulu. Not HBO? No, I don't see that anywhere on here. Oh well, heads up that the podcast is taking next week off for, let's say spring break. One of our favorite Patreon episodes will be unlocked and in the main feed next week, and then we'll be back with a new episode April 10th. Speaking of the Patreon, Hello from the Magic Tavern is an independent production, made possible by supporters of the Magic Tavern Patreon. An ocean of angry drones waving their crumpled $5 bills. Supporters like J.D. Laukonen, Jeremy Kazort, Josh Gossett, Matt Williams, Jimmy Bertke, John 50 Shades of Grey, oh, how the ladies' eyes must light up when hearing that with the glow of red flags. Funkasaurus Rex, Vic M, Rodias, Truck Driver Josh, fresh in from Richard Scarry's Busy Town, Emily Potter, Sage, Katie Hebert, Cameron Freymont, Corina Fay, and Alex Martin. The everyday-sounding names are always the real monsters. Patrons get ad-free episodes, the entire back catalog, including all the previous spin-offs, and at least two new bonus episodes each month. And if you're a bit of a baddie, you'll be excited that we just launched Season 3 of Masters of Mayhem, as part of our court-ordered obligation to keep Kevin Soretta busy. Episode 1 is available on the Patreon now. Here's a clip.
All right, I'm gonna use the sword.
Sir?
Hey!
This blade at your neck can go in two directions.
I think it's a Zweihander.
Across your throat, spilling your blood down this seemingly endless stair, or, back by my side. So which is it?
Between those are the two options there?
Just tell us your name!
It's just, all right. Yeah, this is a binary on this one.
Your arms seem to be shaking holding that sword. Are you sure your muscles are capable of keeping it up that long?
It's not my everyday sword.
And I conjured this book, and it did confirm that it's called a Zweihander. Normally it's held with two hands. It's quite a heavy blade. Yeah, your name, dwarf, your name!
Scrom Goggle Manafort.
Oh.
Have you heard of me?
Well, I mean, it's a very common name for a dwarf. Scrom Grobble Gaminforth?
Not even. Scrom Woggle Manafort.
Scrom Dobble Gableforth.
You know what? Yes.
To hear the rest, spoiler, there's no huge change in quality, and learn more about supporting the show, visit patreon.com/magictavern. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Matt Young, and Adil Rafai. Post-production coordination by Garrett Schultz. This episode edited by Stefan Dranger. Hello from the Magic Tavern logo by Allard Leban. Magic Tavern theme by Andy Poland. Okay, Ward. What does your little device say now?
Excellent. Outstanding. This means I can finally give you this family-size LaCroix.
I didn't even know they came in this size. It looks like a shiny metal punching bag. Oh, LaCroix, fill me with your vaguely citrusy bubbles.
Yes, you enjoy that. Drink your fill. Now let's see. With this spring break coming up, I have just enough time to plan a little excursion of my own.